2 Peter chapter 2, from verse 10 to verse 16. I know I keep saying it, but this is just a brief discourse. It's not a full-length sermon. I want to give the overview. Peter continues with his argument. I say argument, and it is that, but it's a passionate outburst, and I don't mean that in a wrong sense. It's a passionate cry from the heart. You can feel the emotion and the urgency and the vitality in his words. He sees these believers being sucked away from Christ into all kinds of carnality with dreadful consequences. And he's appealing, arguing to keep them with Christ. Remember what he said in the first chapter. I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. He says, I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory and so on. So I appeal to all the brothers and sisters, believers who are listening to me. You may be established. I hope you are. I may be established. I hope I am. I hope you're growing in grace. I hope I am in the knowledge of Christ. But let us be warned. False prophets were among the people in the Old Covenant. False teachers are out there today. And they, with their teaching, will lead us away from Christ into the utmost dreadful consequences. Look how Peter describes these men. Verse 10. They follow the flesh, the corrupt desire of the flesh. And they despise authority. They pander to the flesh. They encourage fleshly behavior. And they despise authority. What is this authority? I would say scriptural authority. Godly authority in the assemblies of God's people, the ecclesia. Scriptural authority, above all. So their emphasis is upon flesh. Their preaching, their teaching, their counseling tends to promote fleshly behavior. And they pay scant regard. In fact, they despise authority. There is an antinomianism which I'm proud of, if I can use that word. I don't mind being called an antinomian for preaching the gospel freely to sinners. I should be so free as scripture, as free as the apostle. And I should be accused of antinomianism. I welcome that. In fact, if I'm not accused of antinomianism when I am preaching the free grace of God for the salvation of sinners, I'm not really preaching the gospel as it should be preached. But there is an antinomianism amongst believers against the word of God, playing down the word of God. That is a dreadful thing. John 14-16, 2 Timothy 3:15-17, John 17:17, and go on and on and on. The scriptures, the word of God, the external word of God, is the authority. We have the inward work of God's Spirit, of course, in the New Covenant. We have the grace of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, the motivating power of the Spirit. But coupled with that, we have the external commands of God's Word. It's not Spirit or Word. It's certainly not Word or Spirit. It's Spirit and Word. These men, says Peter, pander to the flesh by despising the authority. Watch out for teachers who take you away from the Word of God and pander to the flesh. Look at their characteristics. I'll be very brief. They're bold. They're arrogant. They are not afraid. I'm in verse 10. These men blaspheme in matters they don't understand. They're ignorant. They act by instinct, he says. Instinctive behaviors, fleshly behaviors. These men are actually ignorant. And they're causing harm. They talk about pleasure. Verse 13. Pleasures and pleasures. Peter uses the word twice in the same verse. blots, blemishes, reveling in their pleasures, feasting with you. They're in amongst the assemblies. They're amongst the believers, and it's all flesh and pandering to the flesh, instinctive behavior, not scriptural behavior. Adultery, seducing. Verse 14, that could be literal. It could be spiritual. Experts in greed, there's money in it somewhere. Accursed brood, he calls them, verse 14. They leave the straight way. They wander off. They're drifting away. They love the wages of wickedness like Balaam, son of Beor. Money's in it somewhere. Madness, I see in verse 16. As I say, I'm being brief. But you can put all these things together. Instinct, ignorance, anti-scripture, promoting flesh, carnality, pleasures, carousing, seduction, adultery, spiritual or literal. Or both. Boldness, arrogance, and numbers flock and follow them. But what does Peter say about these people? Well, he said all the time through this passage, it's going to lead to the judgment of God. God will bring them into judgment. Look at verse 12. They too will perish. Born only to be caught and destroyed, and like beasts they will perish. That's verse 12. And then verse 13, they will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. Their idea, their thinking is pleasure. Their end is flesh. Their eyes are full of adultery, they're a cursed brood. But, as Balaam was restrained, as he was brought to the end, God has judgments for these men, and for those who follow them. Don't forget the previous paragraph. Don't forget the angels that fell. Don't forget Sodom and Gomorrah. And in between, don't forget Noah, and the days of Noah, and the men who perished then. So here we see the nature of false teaching, the nature, the disposition of the false teachers, what's underneath it, what's lying there, the flesh. Anti-scripture, money, the carnality that's produced, and the end will be destruction. These are very serious passages, very serious texts and warnings for us. The warning continues here. The previous discourse was warning and encouragement. Here the warning goes on. Warning and instruction. The instruction. Obviously, what Peter is saying is, avoid these men. Avoid men who take you away from Scripture, who take you to flesh. Look for men who preach Scripture and preach Christ from Scripture and bring Christ to you. Cultivate the Spirit, not the flesh. If I'm a teacher, let me forever be teaching Christ. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, lift up Christ. Don't encourage the flesh. Bring men and women under the Scripture, not away from Scripture. Think of the dreadful judgments that are lying ahead for men and women who are given up to the flesh and not to the Spirit in Scripture and thereby to Christ. These are very serious warnings. The passage I think which I'd like to close with is from Galatians 5 leading into Galatians 6. And I'll read that to you. This, I think, is the application of such teaching as Peter. Paul's writing to the Galatians when he says, you're in the new covenant. You're in the liberty of Christ. Now, this is how it will show. And I appeal to us today, brother and sister, I appeal to you, and I appeal to myself. I exhort us. Let us live out the teaching, the positive teaching, of the passage I'm now about to read to you, from Galatians 5. I'm going to read from Galatians 5, and verse 13. Remember, Peter, fleshly teachers, against Scripture, leading away from Scripture, pandering to the flesh, and the end of it. What does Paul say to the Galatians? You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious, and he lists them: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, and so on. And then he moves on. He says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he comes to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. And he says, against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The word there is pedagogue, very much taking us back to chapter 3 and 4. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. I could summarize that. The positive here is to cultivate Christ-likeness. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh, and so on. And he goes on into chapter 6. There should be no division. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. I think this is what he is saying here. What is the law of Christ? Look back and see. It's walking in the Spirit, by the Spirit. And how will that be guided for you? Well, Paul's writing Galatians chapter 5. By Scripture, of course. And that ties in heavily, closely, intimately with Peter. Cultivate the Scriptures, not the flesh. And make the Scriptures to do what they are intended to do. Take you to Christ. And then look to Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be sanctified. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be holy and godly. And be like Christ. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is what I see in this passage in 2 Peter. The warning and instruction. Hold to Scripture. Hold to the Spirit. Hold to Christ. Amen.